The following audiobooks contain AI-generated content and may contain errors. This audiobook narration presents Pulteney Weekend Compass, a two-day plan for independent walkers in Vermont's Slate Valley. Prologue. You are standing on the pavement of Main Street, and the first thing that strikes you is the impossible width of the road. In a region of New England famous for winding narrow lanes that hug the contours of the mountains, this avenue feels surprisingly confident, almost regal. You step into Pulteney, and the first thing that hits you is how roomy it feels. Main Street is not a skinny little ribbon you shuffle along. It is broad, tree-lined, and oddly confident for a town this size, like it still expects the next wave of travelers to arrive with time to spare. The second thing you notice is the hush. Not silence exactly, but the sense that the volume knob on the world has been turned down. A car rolls by now and then. A door closes. A dog has an opinion. And if you drift close to where the land dips and the buildings loosen their grip, you catch it. The Pulteney River. Subtle but steady. Sounding like it has been doing the same work for a very long time. Pulteney is a town of roughly 3,000 people. And it wears that scale in a very specific way. You are not trying to decode a maze. You are learning a handful of anchors, then returning to them until they feel like touchstones. And because you are doing this like a backpacker, light, observant, and self-reliant, you do not need a complicated plan. You need a simple mental layout you can carry without effort, plus a weekend rhythm that keeps you moving without turning your trip into a checklist. So let's build that mental layout first, the kind you can hold on to even if you are navigating by memory alone. Start with Main Street. It is also Vermont Route 30 here, and it runs east to west through the village in a way that is almost too straightforward for New England. When you feel turned around, you come back to Main Street and your sense of direction snaps back into place. As you walk, the storefront proportions do a lot of quiet explaining for you. Big street-level windows, then offices or apartments above. Even before you know any local history, you can tell this is where the town has concentrated its everyday life for generations. Now add the river. The Pulteney River runs close enough to influence the shape of things, even when you cannot see it. It is not just scenery. It is part of the town's original logic. Rivers mean power, water, and a reason to build here, instead of a mile away. In Pulteney, the river is like a sentence you keep hearing in the background. You do not need to focus on it every moment, but it keeps telling you where you are. Next, place Depot Street in your head. It runs roughly parallel to Main Street and hugs the old rail corridor. Even if you are not here to geek out on rail history, you will feel what rail lines do to land. They keep things unusually straight. They create clean edges where towns tuck useful infrastructure, and they leave behind corridors that still guide your movement long after the trains are gone. Depot Street is part of that leftover geometry, and it becomes handy when you start thinking about walks that are not just sidewalk strolling. Then there is Grove Street, your pull south cue. When you head down Grove, you're essentially aiming toward Lake St. Catherine, the big natural anchor south of the village. Grove is a reminder that Pulteney is not only a downtown. Water and forest are close, and a single street can feel like a thread leading you from brick buildings to shoreline. Finally, keep Beeman Street as a northbound cue. If Main Street is your east-west spine, Beeman is one of the ways you feel the town reach into quieter residential blocks and out towards more open land. You do not need to memorize every cross street. You just need to remember the directional tugs. Main holds you steady. Depot parallels the old rail line. Grove draws you toward the lake. Beeman points you north. Once those are in your head, Pulteney's next trick makes sense. It has two centers, and they feel like different chapters of the same book. Pulteney Village, the one you probably arrive into, is the practical hub. It is where that broad Main Street gives you a gentle, "we used to be a bigger deal" vibe in the best possible way. It is where you naturally end up to wander past historic facades, get your bearings, and handle the basics of a weekend. Food, a few supplies, and the comfort of knowing you can do a lot without moving your ride every hour. East Pulteney, a short distance east, is the quieter historic core. It does not try to compete with Main Street's width, and it does not need to. East Pulteney centers on a triangular green, a true village common, with historic homes around it, a landmark church anchoring the scene, and a small cluster of museums cared for by the Pulteney Historical Society. The mood shifts out there. It gets still. You hear wind in trees, maybe a distant mower, and the soft thump of your own footsteps. If Pulteney Village feels like the town's working face, East Pulteney feels like its memory. That two-center logic is the secret to enjoying this place without rushing. You are not trying to do Pulteney in a single sprint. You are bouncing between two tight clusters, plus a southern water anchor, and then widening out into the trails that stitch the surrounding landscape together. Now let's give your weekend a shape you can actually live inside, flexible enough to feel like a weekend and not an endurance event. One experience is your town and history walk. That is Pulteney Village at walking speed, where the built environment tells you what money, materials, and immigration waves can do to a small place. You read architecture the way you would read tree rings. You notice details most people drive past. And you keep the river in mind, even when it is half hidden, because it explains why the village sits where it sits. Another experience is your quiet history pocket, East Pulteney. It is compact enough to fit almost anywhere in your schedule, and that is part of its magic. It is an ideal contrast move when you want the day to slow down without ending. The third experience is your lake and shoreline day. Lake St. Catherine is the southern anchor of the area, and it changes the feel of your weekend. It can be a swim day, but it is also a different kind of space, open water, shore breeze, and that particular quality of light you get when the landscape flattens into a reflective surface. Lake St. Catherine State Park is the most straightforward public access point, which means you can spend real time at the water without having to guess where public shoreline begins and private property starts. Then, when you want more miles and more forest, you take a trail day. The Slate Valley has a substantial multi-use network, and the key point for now is simple. You can get real terrain and real quiet without committing to a far-flung expedition. It is a trail system that rewards a backpacker's sensibility. You move under your own power, you stay curious, and you let a day be defined by woods, ridgelines, and the occasional view that shows up right when you stop expecting it. If you compress this trip into 2 days, pair your town and history walk with one other big experience. You either do village plus lake for maximum contrast, brick and slate first, then open water, or you do village plus trails if you are itching to put in miles. East Pulteney slides into either day because it is close and compact. It works especially well late in the afternoon when you want the volume turned down. If you expand to 3 or 4 days, you get to do what Pulteney does best. Repetition with variation. You walk Main Street once in bright morning light, then again when the day softens and the river becomes easier to hear. You take the lake when you want horizon and breeze, then take the trails when you want shade and elevation. And you return to East Pulteney when you want the kind of quiet that makes you lower your voice without realizing it. Now for a quick timeline, just enough that when you look at buildings and roads, they stop being old stuff and start being evidence. Pulteney is chartered on September 21, 1761, during the era when colonial land grants were actively shaping the map. European settlement begins around 1771, with early cabins near the Pulteney River, because rivers are not just pretty. They are survival, power, and a way to organize a new community. By the early 1800s, Pulteney is positioning itself as a stagecoach-era stop, and the road becomes destiny. A turnpike company forms, and the route is completed a few years later, turning what is now Route 30 into a serious east-west artery. That turnpike and commerce logic is a big reason Main Street still feels spacious today, built for movement rather than just local traffic. Then the Slate era hits, and it is hard to overstate what it does to a place. From the mid-19th century into the early 20th, slate extraction and manufacturing reshape the economy, pull in waves of immigrant labor and expertise, and leave behind architecture that still reads as substantial. When the boom fades, especially through the economic shocks of the 1930s, Pulteney's story shifts again. For generations, Green Mountain College shapes village life and commerce until the school closes after the 2018 to 2019 academic year. Even if you never set foot on the campus edge, that college era influences the town's recent texture. Who lived here? Who walked these streets? And what kinds of conversations happened in everyday places? That is the timeline in your pocket. Now connect it to the land, because Pulteney makes the most sense when you understand that the ground under you is part of the reason the town looks the way it does. You are on Vermont's western edge, near the New York line, in a slate-rich valley that runs along the border. To the east, the Green Mountains rise. To the west, on clear days, you can catch the darker ridgelines of the Adirondacks across the state line. Pulteney sits in between, in a landscape that feels like a meeting point. Mountains implied on both sides, with a valley floor that has been useful to humans for a very long time. The Pulteney River is the thread that ties the village together. It flows north from the Lake St. Catherine area and runs through town, and historically, it is the reason mills and work sites cluster where they do. When you picture the village, do not picture a perfect grid. Picture a community shaped by a river bend with streets and buildings arranged in a practical relationship with moving water. And then there is Lake St. Catherine, sitting at the southern edge like a natural punctuation mark. It is where the valley opens into shoreline, where hikers and swimmers and paddlers all end up sharing the same big blue space. Even if you are mostly here for trails and history, the lake influences the mood of the whole area. It is a landmark you can navigate by, and a reminder that geology is not abstract here. It is literally the shape of your weekend. Since we are leaning into geology, let's keep the Slate Valley idea usable, not textbook heavy. Slate starts as marine shale, sediment laid down in ancient seas, then gets transformed by heat and pressure over deep time. The result is a rock that splits along smooth plains. That splitting quality is the reason slate can become thin, durable sheets for roofing and building. In this region, slate shows up in a range of colors, and that variety is part of what made the Slate Valley famous. You do not need to be a geologist to appreciate it. You just need to notice how often stone shows up in everyday places here, in walls and foundations, and in the way the town feels like it is built from itself. That is also where the treasure seeker mindset comes in. And in Pulteney, it works best when you keep the word treasure pointed at observation, not souvenirs. Before we go further, lock in one more practical skill: how to navigate here without treating electronics like a life support system. Use sound and shape. When you are close to the river corridor, listen. Water has a way of making itself known even when trees and buildings hide it. Then use tall, obvious landmarks, especially church towers and steeples, as long-distance reference points. They let you measure progress without thinking about distance. When you shift to East Pulteney, the anchor changes. Out there, it is not a long street corridor. It is the open green. A triangular common is almost unfairly easy to navigate because the shape does half the work for you. You can wander, loop, and still find your way back to that open space. Through all of it, Main Street stays your reset point. You wander a side street, follow curiosity, let yourself be gently lost for a few minutes, then return to Main to recenter. You are not memorizing, you are orbiting. Because you are coming here as a backpacker and not as a drive-by sightseer, the tone matters. Pulteney rewards quiet competence. You carry a way to treat water because the landscape is water-rich, but not every stream is a safe drink. You pack out what you pack in because small towns are not built to absorb visitor trash. You treat the town like someone's home because it is. Your enthusiasm shows up as respect. Staying on public ways, keeping your voice down on residential streets, and remembering that a beautiful old stone wall might also be a property line. And because this place makes it easy to feel like a harmless explorer, it is worth saying the ethical rule out loud early while it is simple. The fun here is in noticing. You spot slate fragments tucked into stone walls. You notice where land stays strangely straight because an old transportation corridor once insisted on it. You pay attention to small changes in grade that do not feel purely natural because industry and building move earth in telltale ways. You watch for bedrock outcrops where the ground almost seems to show you its seams. Then you leave everything in place. Do not collect. Do not pry. Do not pocket just one cool rock, and do not disturb old foundations or walls. Beyond the ethics, there is a practical reality. On public lands, removing artifacts can be illegal, and on private land, you still need permission. The story lives in context. Take photos, take notes. If you stumble on something that looks historically significant, The responsible move is to document it where it sits and ask a local historical group or town office what they want done next. To keep you oriented as you move through the weekend, hold on to a few public durable anchors. Downtown, the Main Street Historic District gives you a concentrated stretch of buildings that still read clearly across eras. Out in East Poultney, the museum cluster around the green reflects a community choice to preserve and interpret its older center. When you shift into trail mode, you will keep hearing about Slate Valley Trails, the volunteer-led steward that helps keep the multi-use network in shape. And when you go south for shoreline time, Lake St. Catherine State Park is the reliable public access point for water, easy trails, and camping infrastructure. Now, one decision that shapes the whole feel of your trip is where you base yourself. If you stay near the village core, you are choosing walkability and convenience. You can step out and do your town and history walk without planning a drive. You are close to everyday services and close to the streets that make orientation easy. If you base yourself closer to Lake St. Catherine, you are choosing immediate access to shoreline and campground rhythms. You wake up near water and can build your day around the lake's mood. The trade-off is that you are a few miles from downtown, and Poultney is rural enough that those miles matter if you plan to bounce back and forth. Many backpackers solve that by biking, catching a lift, or simply batching the day into a town block and a lake block instead of shuttling repeatedly. Neither choice is better. It is about what you want to feel when you step outside in the morning: brick and sidewalks, or forest and water. One brief note on seasonality, only because it affects access in real ways. State park services tend to be seasonal, so do not assume every amenity is available just because the water looks inviting. Trail conditions also change sharply through the year, and Vermont's mud season can make certain surfaces fragile. The most respectful choice is sometimes to stick to more durable routes, lean into town walks, and let the land set the agenda. At this point, you already have what you need to arrive with confidence. You are coming into a compact town with a surprisingly broad main street, a river you can hear when you get close, and a layout that rewards anchor thinking instead of constant navigation. You have a few key streets in mind: Main for your east-west spine, Depot along the old rail corridor, Grove pulling you south toward the lake, and Beeman pointing you north. And you are remembering the two center logic: Poultney Village for practical wandering and daily needs, East Poultney for the quiet green and that older settlement feeling. You also have the deeper lens that makes Poultney more than a cute Vermont town. The Turnpike era helps explain why the village feels built for movement. The Slate era explains the sturdiness you read in buildings and stonework. The river explains why the town sits the way it does. The lake explains why the southern edge feels like a different world. And the Slate Valley geology explains why the ground itself feels like part of the story, because it is. Next, you start walking these ideas in real time. You move through Poultney Village first, then shift to East Poultney's green, then head south to Lake St. Catherine, and finally widen out to the trail networks that connect it all. For now, you have arrived, you are oriented, and you are already doing the most important thing Poultney asks of you: paying attention. Sources: Vermont Agency of Natural Resources, Vermont State Parks. Official: Lake St. Catherine. State park information was used for up-to-date basics on public access, day use, camping, facilities, and seasonal recreation. Slate Valley Trails, a regional volunteer trail organization founded in 2015. Their public trail descriptions and maps informed the overview of the Slate Valley Trail Network and the Poultney River Loop, including trailhead orientation and the general character of multi-use routes. National Park Service, National Register of Historic Places, National Register documentation was consulted for the Poultney Main Street Historic District and related historic resources to confirm broad architectural context, district boundaries in plain terms, and period of significance details. Poultney Historical Society. The Society's museum materials and self-guided walking tour resources supported the sections on East Poultney's historic green, local institutions like the Union Academy and the Melodeon Factory, and biographical background tied to the town's early print and civic history. Town of Poultney, Vermont. Official municipal information. The town's public-facing materials were used for practical civic orientation and for where travelers can direct questions or reports about local sites and stewardship concerns. Vermont Division for Historic Preservation and Vermont's Public Guidance on Archaeology. State-level preservation guidance informed the legal and ethical notes on archaeological resources, including the general principle of preservation in place and the importance of not collecting or disturbing artifacts on public lands. Slate Valley Museum in Granville, New York. Museum interpretive information was used for broader context on Slate Valley, quarrying heritage, and the slate industry's role in shaping the region's culture and landscape. Public non-proprietary geology and local history summaries referenced in the research. These were used only for high-level background on slate formation, the long arc of settlement and industry, and the idea that quarry landscapes can be appreciated responsibly through observation rather than collection. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.